This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Pentagon experts are continuing their assessing of how much damage the Saturday U.S. air attacks did to Iran's nuke program. Iran's foreign ministers in Moscow to meet with Russian President Putin. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
Here at home, law enforcement also on high alert. Homeland Security warning state and local officials of a heightened threat environment.
Nearly 50 heat records for this day could be equaled or broken, forecasters say. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts from Texas to Maine. A lot of folks have much to clean up, says ABC's Allison Kosick.
New York's governor issuing a state of emergency for more than 30 counties after heavy rain and dangerous flash flooding slammed parts of the state. Outside Utica, at least three people were killed, including six-year-old twins. The violent weekend of weather stretching across the country.
Took seven games, but the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The heat and humidity are building. Meteorologist Brittany Merlo warns us to beware.
We're talking about 90-degree temperatures with 100-degree heat indices this weekend. It's time to be aware of signs of heat-related illnesses like heat stroke because it can happen fast and hydration is important. So we're simply sweating more because the air is muggy and it's full of water, so it's harder to evaporate the sweat off of us, which cools us down. And since our internal body temperatures can rise to unhealthy levels, it's why you should avoid strenuous activities in the high heat or keep up on your water intake. Avoid sugary drinks and alcohol as those work to dehydrate you even more. And if you start to feel dizzy, confused, with a sudden stop in sweating, it's time to get inside some AC. Or find a fan or a shaded area to cool down. If you continue, heat stroke is possible, and you may see stars, throw up, blackout, or wind up in the ER. Nearly 700 Wisconsinites visited emergency rooms for heat-related illnesses just last year, and 39 kids across the country died. Never leave them or pets inside of a car, even with the window cracked. After just 20 minutes on an 80-degree day, the CDC says the inside of the car is at 109 degrees Fahrenheit.
The extreme heat, which is forecast throughout Wisconsin over the next several days, could create conditions for pavement buckling. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is advising motorists to be alert and take extra caution. Pavement can buckle when the weather quickly goes from cool to very hot. This causes slabs of pavement to expand and push against one another. If the pressure becomes great enough, the pavement can buckle and create unexpected bumps or dips. Report serious pavement issues by calling 911. Be ready to provide specific location information. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Pirates come to town. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers and Pirates face off tonight at AmFam Field. Milwaukee with a 9-8 win over the Twins and a three-game sweep in Minnesota. The last time that happened was 1996. The Brewers now in second place, just 3.5 games behind the Cubs in the NL Central. The Cubs losing yesterday 14-6 to the Mariners. Racing, Alex Palou wins the Expel IndyCar Grand Prix at Road America in Elkhart Lake, becoming the first driver since A.J. Foyt in 1975 to win six of the first nine races of the season. NBA, Oklahoma City Thunder are the NBA champions after beating the Pacers in OKC in Game 7, 103-91. Say Gilgeous-Alexander, leading with 29 points, showing concern for the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton, who suffered a torn Achilles tendon in the first quarter.
Like, I couldn't imagine playing the biggest game of my life and something like that happening. It's so unfortunate. It's not fair.
That's the Thunder's Shea Gillis-Alexander with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
It is going to be hot and muggy again today. That heat index will be pushing 100 once again this afternoon. And then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today. Some of those strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Stay weather aware today and this evening. Tomorrow, it will be cooler. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 79.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that sweet. Back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Maggie Dawn.
LGBTQ rights are under attack. At 4:30, Patrick Faribault from Our Lives Magazine joins to discuss what's at stake and how we celebrate Pride right here in Wisconsin. Don't miss the Maggie Dawn Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, good morning. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025, the last full weekend of June of the quarter of this first half of 2025. Already. Coming up on the program, we're going to be talking to Tracy Ann Mangold. She's a former top official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party and is going to talk about not just how a lot of traditional Republicans have left the party, but what's been left in its wake. And that includes a report over the weekend that the state Republican Party chair may be on the verge of being ousted because the Trump supporters who have essentially taken over the party are dissatisfied with the job that he's doing. So we'll talk about that a bit. Jimmy Cusco will be along to talk about sports. In our next hour, we will talk to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process and what a process it is when folks who talk a good game about bipartisanship decide they don't want to when it suits them. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is here joining us from the nation's capital. Parker Olson is in Madison Studio A2. And meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here to tell us about the heat, the humidity, the rain that's come through. Some showers just moved through the Chippewa Valley here today or this morning. Kind of, Brittany, almost refreshing. You know, we needed a little shower after all that heat yesterday. Though I got to say, if you were in a shady spot and with that stiff wind of 20 miles an hour, it was not the ugliest, 100-degree heat index day you'd ever have.
No, it wasn't too bad. No. I liked the breeze. It helped. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, that mugginess, though, there's no escaping that unless you were in the AC or right up against Lake Superior. I'll tell you, temperatures down there in the mid-50s, even while further away, just into Ashland, temperatures were into those low to mid-90s. So some crazy stuff still going on. It's 54 degrees at Superior, Lake Superior, 82 degrees right now into Ashland. Our lows have been hovering in the 80s. The mugginess has been stuck here, and today is the last day. Like Pat had said, a cold front is moving through. It's sparking up a few showers into northwestern places of the state, and then is going to continue to push southeast. Now, as we go through this afternoon, as it hits the hot, humid air that's still down there, we're still looking at heat advisories for the south and eastern half of the state. So that continues until about 7 o'clock tonight. We're still looking at heat index reaching about the low 100s. Temperatures in the mid-90s far southwest. Well, up north, it's in the upper 70s today. So yes, some free AC is on the way, but we've got to get through some storms that could potentially be strong to severe. Now, those are going to start to fire up probably around a line from La Crosse, north to Winona or so, then kind of take that up towards Wausau, just south of Rhinelander, and then the whole Fox Valley, Sheboygan area to northern Milwaukee, and then you kind of cut that down towards Janesville. So all the areas in between, Madison, central Wisconsin, all of these places are in a slight risk from the Storm Prediction Center for these strong to severe storms, which at first are going to pack the potential for a tornado or two, or maybe some large hail. So that'll be around 1 to 2 o'clock this afternoon as that starts. And then as the line progresses this evening into the Fox Valley and Madison area, probably around 6 or 7 or so, straight line winds become a risk there. Maybe 60, 70 mile per hour wind gusts. And then it starts to fizzle out around Milwaukee around midnight. And then you think we're in the clear, but we're not. This front is going to be parking itself over the state, continuing to give us showers and storms. And flooding then becomes a potential as we go into Wednesday and Thursday with heavy rain still continuing. So torrential downpours out there today. High winds, definitely a risk. And then, of course, hail or tornado maybe early.
Okay, we'll pay attention to that forecast. Rob says, good morning from Tigerton. Sunny and 77 after an overnight low of 75 over the weekend. Tigerton had highs of 92 on Saturday, 95 on Sunday. He says he mowed the lawn on Saturday morning. Let's see. He mentions concrete buckling on a few areas along Highway 29 in Shawano County, an accident along Highway 29 in the Wittenberg area that caused some major backups. He says he has to adjust his mowing schedule today. His truck is in the shop, supposed to be in Wittenberg mowing today, but he'll have to do yards in Tigerton where he keeps his other lawn tractor. It's always good to have one or the other. He says when he watered flowers on Main Street in Tigerton, it felt good handling the water without getting cold.
Yeah.
that would be one of the nice side effects of the heat wave like this. And says hi to his four favorite people on a Monday morning. Let's see. We mentioned Sonic the Hedgehog anniversary on this day in history. Tony says Sega was my console growing up. No Nintendo in my house. Sonic for life. Alicia, what? OMG. I remember playing Sonic when it first came out. And we were trying to discuss what is porridge. Tony has the answer here on YouTube. Porridge is trash, is what he has to say. So
tell us how you really feel, Tony, right?
Right. Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Yes. And we'll see you next hour for a little update on the forecast coming up as well. In sports, Parker Olson has the top story in sports, but we're going to bury that lead and tell you first that the Brewers were winners. They swept the Twins, swept all three games of that series, 9-8 yesterday. Reese Hoskins homered and doubled and drove in two runs. Bryce Turang hit a three-run homer. Caleb Durbin had three hits for the Brewers. They've now won four in a row. They're just 3.5 games back of the Cubs now. Jacob Mizorowski, fresh off pitching 5 no-hit innings in his first major league game, on Friday night against the Twins, took a perfect game into the 7th inning on Friday. So he had 11 total innings of no-hit ball to start a career. The first starting pitcher to do that since 1900. He will be pitching again Wednesday afternoon for the Brewers when they play the Pirates, and the Pirates will have their ace pitcher, Paul Skeens, on the mound. So Wednesday afternoon's game is going to be a big one at American Family Field. Not that take anything away from tonight's game. You can get coverage of that starting at 6:05 on several Civic media stations. Head over to the website and learn more. But yeah, Jacob Mizorowski, pretty good pitcher. Parker Olson saw a pretty good pitcher at the Madison Mallards game over the weekend as well. An actual no-hitter, complete game all the way through.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was like 4th or 5th inning, I think. I was in the press box working that camera, and everyone kind of like started going, hey, you should look at the scoreboard, but don't say anything. Because if we jinx this,
don't ruin it.
Yeah, we're going to be in trouble if we mess this up.
Isaac Milburn was the pitcher's name, is the pitcher's name, I guess I should say. Where's he from?
He goes to Purdue. I believe he's actually from Kentucky.
Okay. So he did that. A 1-0 victory. How about that for run support?
Yeah.
He had 10 strikeouts and 2 walks. And was, really, really came in handy since the Mallards only managed 6 hits in the game. And that was always my worry for Jacob Mizorowski, was giving the kid, run support.
Yeah, it's usually the pitching or the bats for the Brewers, it feels like.
Yes, yeah. So anyway, so that had to be fun looking at that and going, you don't want to say anything because you don't want to jinx it. And then you go, wait a minute, what is a jinx anyway?
Oh, yeah.
We abide by it anyway.
Rob's comment about OKC. Did you watch that last night? That was fun.
No. I just dipped in briefly to see that Oklahoma City was well ahead and won the NBA title. First time they've won it in Oklahoma City. I still, yes, I know it's been 17 years. I still
think Seattle.
Think back. I still feel bad for Seattle for losing the Supersonics when that team won a title in 1979 and then relocated to Oklahoma City 2008, I believe it was. So congratulations, Oklahoma City, for having a little something to cheer about there as well. So.
Can we also send congratulations to Team Vitality that won the Blast TV Austin Major 2025 in Counter-Strike 2 in Austin, Texas over the weekend? Do you know people do that?
What the hell are you talking about?
How many of those words did you understand, Pat?
None. I just read it. 40,000 people went to Austin, Texas to watch people play a video game in like 9 hours a day of video game playing, including my oldest son, Abe, who loves this. And I do not understand. So if you gamers are out there, congratulations.
To all gamers, not to the, to all gamers.
Look, the first time that I heard about, you know, quote unquote, esports of just watching people play video games, obviously, I wanted to poo-poo it. And then, of course, people said, well, how's that any different than watching a football game or a baseball game or whatever? I don't know, because we're watching people using their bodies, their arms, their legs, and not just a thumb on button A and a thumb on button B or something like that. So, again, showing my age.
Do you?
That's all I needed to play Pong, you know, back in the day. So,
how do you think you would do with video games today, Pat?
Oh, awful. Okay. Absolutely awful. Okay. We had a Nintendo Wii for a while.
Ooh.
And I'll tell you why. And then, Kristen, if I run out of time, don't let me forget to ask about the weekend Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. But when Mason was born, our oldest grandchild, 18 years ago, I remember seeing a news report about how, you know, hey, if you're a grandparent, you should start to learn some of these video games so that you can play with your kid. It'll be a great bonding experience and everything else. So we thought, okay, let's do that. Let's try. And, you know, so again, we're talking 2007, 8, 9, something like that. And the games were somewhat manageable. And at some point, it was just, you know, Mason, have a good time. Come upstairs for some cookies when you're done, because there was just no way to keep up with what you have to do with these things now. I miss Pong. I miss Ms. Pac-Man. I don't want to have to use, you know, three different fingers here, two here, and two toes, you know, to try to make sure that I'm firing in all the right directions or whatever it is I'm trying to say here.
I have tried, and when my kids are like, no, Mom, they ate one on the side. I just can't keep up with it. I can't do it.
No. So, again, it's not that it's not a talent. It's not that it's not something that you'd like to watch for a minute or two, you know, but I also know people say that about baseball, and I would watch baseball all day long if I could. So it's just a matter of what you're used to. Hey, look, I left enough time to hear about the Dr. Kristen Lyerly show. What'd you have last weekend? What's coming up next?
Last weekend, we talked with Representative Ryan Spouty and candidate for state Senate Sean Grurich about the policy of pride, some of the cool stuff that's happening in the legislature right now. Do you know that our LGBTQ plus caucus doubled in the last election? Mm-hmm. And I think I mentioned this last week, 4 out of the 5 elected state reps in Northeast Wisconsin are members of the community. So we talked about that, which was really cool. And then upcoming this week, we're going to talk to Alan Tipple from Men for Choice about why abortion is an issue for men, too. I think often men are like, you know, this is not my problem. I don't get it. But actually, it is your problem and you ought to get it. And here's why. It's going to be a great conversation. My son Abe's going to be there. My partner Craig is going to be there sharing different perspectives on how they approach this issue and why it's important for really all of us to understand the impact.
Is Craig tried to do the video games? Does he do better than you do being an officer of the law and everything?
No. Craig, okay. No. Okay. No, but he's great with his weapon. So that's the important thing for a police officer.
Yeah, the real one, not the A or B or whatever. Alicia writes, esports are brain power. Absolutely. So, I mean, great kids. I'm just going to stick to watching the Packers and the Brewers, if you don't mind. A local update is next for some of you. If you're hanging around here, Kristen and I will continue to gab for a bit. And then when we all get back together in 15 minutes, we will spend a good chunk of time with Tracy Ann Mangold talking about divisions in the state Republican Party. And in our next hour, Francesca Hong from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Katrina Johnson is here. She is a therapist and working with local schools on the subject of mental health. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good to see you.
Good to have you in the studio with us. Yes. So I know this is something that you're very passionate about, Katrina. Can you tell us about it?
You're right. Can you tell that by my expression and the way I talk about it in an excited way? Well, I believe there's a lot of strengths in our region and in our communities. And one of the things I've been observing over the last 9 years is it's difficult for schools to fund new innovative programs for mental health. And we need better ways to identify, to access care, increase belonging and help seeking and help receiving. And over the last 9 years, we've developed an LLC called Connect Strength, and we mainly focused on DPI, school-based mental health grants. Now, much of that funding has dissipated and gone to a per-pupil dollar amount. Like this year, I think the Joint Finance Committee decided it would be about $24 per pupil. Well, it would be my hope that that would be like $10,000 per pupil. So without the funding, I've came upon a skill set called brain spotting. And what brain spotting is just like how you're looking at me. Or if you imagine, do you remember Margie Wallace or Marge Sugden? And you're talking to them and they're kind of reading you and they're looking at you. And that's called attunement. So when you're in attunement with someone, you're connected with eye contact, your voice, your pace. You know, you have a conversation with Ron Fruit, and he's really listening with a smile on his face. And he listens, and then he's ready to respond and reflect on what you just said. It's my hope that we can bring that into the classroom so much more for the kids to learn it themselves, for parents, and for staff. The schools are asked to do so much. And when we can start to focus on the human need and connect, you feel that, right? It calms it calms your nervous system. And when our nervous system is calmed and present, it opens up our frontal cortex to be able to take in information, share, respond. And, you know, it increases belonging in the classroom. It increases the joy and connection in the hallways. And that's my hope, is to invite people to learn about My Voice for Hope, which is the nonprofit we created to help supplement the funding needed in schools and our area mental health. And the very, very basic skill set that I've come across is called brain spotting. And you might ask, what is that?
Yeah. Well, right. And I think not to get down on screens, but, you know, a lot of times screen time, we're not making eye contact like we used to, are we?
You see that, don't you?
Right.
You can go to the pool. You can, you know, even driving past a car and you can see that there's three people on a device. Or imagine the breakfast time or dinner time. Now, that there's a lot of opportunities in technology, and we want to make sure our lives are able to be balanced. And what I find being a therapist is that can be addicting. Gaming can be addicting. Just too much of something. Or somebody isn't functioning in a certain way, and instead they're doing their gaming or their device. And what is that? It's a disconnect. And when we can be in attunement with someone, we're able to connect, reduce our conversation from anything that might be accusatory to, well, I see that this is bothering you, or just having that basic, simple body language connection.
Plus, as I've always said, when you're communicating over or text or whatever, we all do that, but you don't know somebody's tone. You can take things totally wrong, sometimes just by reading, can't you?
Well, and if you were to talk to school administrators or teachers, a lot of the, I'll just say, drama that can come in the school morning happens to be whatever the social media activities were throughout the week or the night before, right? So it all folds into the school day of trying to just help the kids communicate, regulate, notice one another. I use the words reflect dignity, to reflect dignity within yourself and in others. And so with brain spotting, I see that as the foundational tool for all the other parts that we've been working on with Connect Strength and now My Voice for Hope. And that is helping kids access care and adults, and to have a data-driven strategy in the community about, you know, there's data points out there, there's surveys, there's youth risk behavioral surveys, there can be the numbers or statistics from your local community mental health providers or primary care providers of what are you seeing. And over the last 3 years, we've seen almost a double in some of those mental health symptoms. And why is that? Well, a lot of it's been happening in the world. And I hope that we can slow it down, pause it down, and provide the needs to realize it. You know, because some people think, well, it's bad that I'm feeling that way, maybe. Or it might be coming across as, well, you're just needing new friends, or you just need to work harder. And I'll say to parents, well, they've been working as hard as they can for too long. And now is the time to please get them into their primary care provider, see what's going on with their thyroid, vitamin D, and sleep. And just get those basic functionings happening. And, you know, school can be hard. Every kid tends to be in a classroom with 24 or 30 kids, and that's a lot. It's a lot of pressure. You were just having the doctor in talking about sports. Sports is a healthy outlet. And you can talk to a parent and say, well, you're busy every weekend, you're doing this, that, and other. it's a lot of a time commitment too. And when I work with kids, I work with some kids doing brain spotting on performance with baseball, on performance with martial arts, performance with music. It's not just mental health for symptoms of depression or PTSD.
Katrina Johnson joining us, a therapist, talking about the upcoming brain spotting, and you can be involved in it. Learn.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henricks.
News from the Center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
More money. It is a simple message that state legislators are sending to the governor on the Agriculture Road Improvement Program. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Monday. The program was launched last year with incredible success. Basically, it's monies that will go to upgrading local roads that carry over 15 million ton of agriculture goods from farms to processors every year. Now, Travis Tranel, current chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee, says the previous round of funding was at $150 million. Now, the governor proposing just $50 million for the program. And Tranel says that's just not enough.
Well, definitely make sure that if we pass a budget that we restore that $100 million cut to ARIP. I think that's ultimately probably the most consequential thing that we can really do for agriculture right now, because our infrastructure is just crumbling. We're doing more damage to our equipment on the roads in a lot of cases than we are in the fields, and I don't think that's acceptable. And $150 million spend, that's a big spend and a big infusion. So I would say that would continue to be first and foremost.
Travis Tranel, he's a farmer himself and also the chair of the Assembly Agriculture Committee. He cites some of the application numbers from last year's final round of the Agriculture Road Improvement Program, where 299 applications were made for more than $500 million worth of projects, more than three times the amount of available funding. Tranel says that's an example of why funding for the ARIP program cannot be retrenched.
When hot weather strikes your cattle, milk production drops and feed intakes decrease. Summer heat also impacts the quality of your herd's reproduction. Protect your cows and grow your bottom line. Add BioVet's Bovine Gold Light to your cow's daily ration. Bovine Gold Light keeps the herd hydrated, maintains milk production, and keeps your breeding program in check. Learn more about Bovine Gold Light at bio-vet.com.
Innovation.
Wisconsin soybean growers have a lot of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
With all the action that's coming up as far as county fairs and continued activity at the state capitol, don't miss a thing. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. You can do it at MidwestFarmReport.com. I am Farm Director Pam Yonke.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be hot and muggy again today. That heat index will be pushing 100 once again this afternoon. And then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today. Some of those strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Stay weather aware today and this evening. Tomorrow, it will be cooler. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 79.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Jay Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Civic Media News Director Charlie Pittman joins us to cover all the weekend news. And then we're talking ticks in hour number two with entomologist PJ Leash, the bug guy. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
I think there was supposed to be some bumper music there, but we might have a little problem over there in Madison. So we're back here with Dr. Kristen Lyerly and with Tracy Ann Mangold, and we are talking about what's happening in the Wisconsin Republican Party, starting with the 8th Congressional District in Northeast Wisconsin, where Tracy and Kristen hail from. And Tracy was a party official with the Republican Party there for a number of years before stepping away. Now there's talk that State Republican Party Chair Brian Schimming may be ousted from the job. And Tracy, as you've given us the background on this previously, Schimming was not a very prodigious fundraiser, especially compared to somebody like, say, a Ben Wickler. Yeah. But to me, the larger issue is that you have these county parties that break away and decide to do things on their own because they see Donald Trump doing it. They see him breaking the norms, breaking the rules, breaking the law, and it works for him. He wins elections. He gets to do whatever he wants. And so they think, well, why shouldn't we do the same thing? And somewhere along the line, you and maybe Brian Schimming and maybe others have to say, there still need to be rules and there need to be consequences for breaking the rules, or else why are we even a group?
Exactly. And I think, you know, when you've got Trump doing whatever he wants, like you said, it legitimizes everybody from the, you know, top down. And that's what you have with these people. And I believe the Brian is afraid of there. That's a lot of it is there's fear. I mean, you've heard some of the people in Congress saying, oh, they're afraid. Then why are you there? Right. And, you know, he said he won for Trump. He did not win for Trump. Trump won Wisconsin. Trump had staff here. Turning Point largely won it for Trump. But Brian Schimming and the state party did not do their job. And I mean, I'm not speaking in favor of that, but I'm just saying the facts is that they did not do their job. And, you know, with the counties, too, there is no outreach. There's typically a lot of communication. He's a horrible communicator. You know, Andrew Hitt, the prior chair, was a great communicator. I feel he left too soon, and I know why he left, but, you know, he had a touch that he worked with the county parties. He was, you know, out there about with us, in his short time. Brian seems to be above that, or think he is. And right now, from what I hear, he is fighting the call to resign. You know, they did not want him in again this last term, but at that time there was nobody else. I think Brandon Malley, the former state party or county chair from Dane County and also a Turning Point executive, I think he recently is resigning from that post. But there was talk that he was going to run. And obviously that would have been worse. You don't want Turning Point because that's their agenda to take over. So it was kind of the lesser of two evils is from what I heard, which obviously was not a good one.
Tracy, let's play this out because we know, and you know better than anybody, that across the state, there is a lot of division here. You've got this kind of ultra mega wing. That's what we see in the 8th CD with Brown and Oconto and Waupaca counties. And then you see the other folks who are, they're pretty mega. I mean, they're Republican, but there's a giant division there. How does this resolve as they are looking at a new leader for the Republican Party, and who could potentially step in here?
That is a good question. At this time, I don't know.
I honestly don't know, because the factions are so deep, you know, within, and I can only speak to the 8th district. So, but, you know, the counties there, you know, I'm out of touch, obviously. There's some people I'm still very close to who are longtime friends, but in terms of the county parties, up like say Marinette County, they have a new chair and now she's gone and now they have an interim chair. My mom, longtime Republican since age 17, she's 88 now, she resigned from the Republican Party because she is so upset by what's going on. And I've said to people, they're probably getting sick of hearing this, but you know, President Johnson said, when you've lost Cronkite, you've lost the country. And I likewise with my mom in the Republican Party, when Shirley Kaufman leaves the Republican Party, something is very, very wrong. Because she is the one that you stand up and you fight to the end. You fight. And right now, I don't think there is a solution.
Let me game this out then in terms of, you know, the Trump wing of the party and how far they're willing to go to get whatever it is that they want. And I'm going to put it to you very simply. If or when Donald Trump says, there's no reason I can't run for a third term, I'm going to run for a third term, there's going to be a block of Americans who are going to say, yep, bring that on. Do you think that's going to be the, you know, the consensus of that particular group of Wisconsin Republicans as well?
That I don't know.
It's a look, I get it's a damning thing to say about our friends and neighbors, but I mean,
it's scary because when you look at the comments on social media, right, you know, when Trump does something, they're still unified behind him. I mean, there's some that aren't. There are some that aren't staying with him. But what bothers me are the people that are staying with him and the legislators that are. Now, we're talking about, of course, there's no checks and balances on him right now. But in order for him to actually do a third term, the only way that, you know, it's not constitutional, but the only way that they could is a constitutional convention, which I've been talking about. It's a very long-reaching event that you'd have to cross a lot of, you know, T's and dot a lot of I's to get to. But from what I've heard, there is active movement trying to get, what, 2/3 of the states to sign up for it. And then we'd have a massive problem because they could go into if they have a constitutional convention, there are no rules, there are no barriers, nothing. So they could come in and say, oh, well, while we're here, let's cross off the women's right to vote. Let's cross off this. They could totally dismantle the Constitution. And yeah, I know I'm getting into the weeds here, but it's something we have to have in our heads, in our minds, and be prepared. That's the thing I'm telling people is, this is not scare tactics. This is just being prepared and being smart and being educated.
And that's where I feel like I am coming from the left side of things, is that if there's a group of Americans that want to go there, then we're going to go there. And we're going to finally address the Second Amendment, which was written for muskets. We're going to make sure that money is not defined as free speech. We're going to enshrine women's reproductive health rights. So yeah, there's people that want a constitutional convention to go way over to this extreme. I'm willing to go over to this not extreme, this place where most people are, and say our country would be in a better place if we would go there. So I don't know. I think this, I've listened for years about calling for a constitutional convention. I don't think they understand the degree to which they're playing with fire in a country that would be forever divided.
Right. And right now is not, you know, right now, the leadership that's in place, it would be complete disaster if such a thing were to happen. You don't have anybody with any shred of common sense in this administration that, you know, gives a rip about the effects that would have. Look what they're already doing with our medical, with everything else, insurance, what have you. So I don't know. It scares me. I pray to God it doesn't happen, but it is something that I worry about because the ramifications of it, it's not something to be taken lightly.
So let's go back to the grownups in the room. Who are they in the Republican Party, and who might step up if Brian Schimming were to resign? Who could be the leader of Wisconsin's Republican Party?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I have people inside that are staying in to kind of hold the wall up, you know, hold the fold the line.
Hold the door. Yeah.
Not because they want to be there, but because of the fact that, you know, they're hoping that maybe they can see some stuff through and then get out. But I honestly, I don't anymore. I mean, you know, Paul Farrow, you know, he's had health issues. He was chair for a while. If he were 100% healthy, if he would come back, if he could be chair, somebody like him, you know, I don't necessarily agree with all the policies, obviously, with the party anymore, because I'm no longer in the party, but he's a decent man. I like Paul. Like I said, he's had cancer struggles. I hear he's doing well, but if he could get healthy, he'd be what I would, if I were going to say for the Republican Party, he would be the common sense person to get in that place. I would probably suggest get a separate fundraising person, because I think that you have to have a special chops to be able to do that. Ben Wickler is, you know, one of a kind in that regard. And so I don't know. I think the Republican Party, I don't have a lot of hope for it. I think it has to be completely decimated and then re-brought up, which is what I'm trying to do in the other groups that I'm working with. But this current incarnation with what they're doing, they're not doing anything to help their counties, to help their people. They're just letting everything run ragged.
Kristen, let me follow up with your point there. Are you saying that it might have to be somebody who thought they went away and they come back in? Much like Ben Wickler was from Wisconsin, but he had all this national experience that he brought back to the state. Is that what you're seeing in a Mike Gallagher or a Paul Ryan or somebody like that, that you think might be where the Republicans have to go next?
They won't go there. I can guarantee you. I didn't mean to interrupt, but they won't go there. They won't. No, not even the more sane Republicans are. Paul Ryan is a little bit less. Mike, I can't see Mike coming back for that.
Well, that's what I was wondering if Kristen was going to think the same thing. It's like once you go, it's like, this isn't Godfather 3. They're not going to bring you right back in. You know, it doesn't work like that.
This seems like a consequence of the strategy that Republicans are using across the country. This fear and division that's been sown just creates chaos and doesn't make people feel like they belong, doesn't inspire people to step up and lead. It's almost like the leaders are the people who feel just like they have to do it because nobody else is going to do it. I don't know that that's the kind of leadership that has the vision that I want to be involved with. I want leadership that sees a future and says, let's create these things. Let's solve these problems. I just don't know where that comes from in the Republican Party in Wisconsin right now.
And you're right. I think the division is such that the real fear right now is if you get somebody who's a turning point person ends up being chair, then we're even worse, you know, I mean, even worse than with Brian Schimming. I mean, I'm at a loss. Like I used to be able to tell you, I could tell you a while ago, you know, who I would think, who I could tell you, I can't even name names who I'd like to see because I don't want to speak for them. But like I said, Paul Farrell is probably the least, like the best choice at this time that I can think of. I'm sure there's others out there. I just can't think of them.
I think it's a commentary on extremism in politics, and you see to a lesser degree on the Democratic side as well, that good people who might want to do these kinds of things, they have no desire to, because they see that you know, moderation is currently punished in so many political circles today, and it is just a crying shame. Tracy Ann Mangold, former top official with the 8th Congressional District Republican Party, thank you very much for helping shine some light on this.
Hope I did.
Well, as best we could. And Kristen's got a busy day ahead in the nation's capital, telling stories on this Dobbs anniversary. So we'll look forward to hearing more about that on Friday, I hope, Kristen.
Absolutely. We'll talk soon.
All right. Coming up next, a local update for some of you. Jimmy Costco will be along for the rest of us to talk sports. And in our 8 o'clock hour, we're back together and talking to State Representative Francesca Hong at 8:30. Again, these are your mornings powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you living with with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really liked. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, Vitaly's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like that back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
Man, there's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Henricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
We're here to talk about the upcoming Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair next weekend, June 28th and 29th in downtown Spring Green. Joining us is a co-president of the event, Diane Barenbrook. How you doing, Diane?
Good. Thank you for having me. It's always exciting to talk about the Spring Green Arts and Crafts Fair.
You got nominated by your mother again to come in and talk to us.
I did. It's okay.
So we're about a week away, but you're kind of getting all the plans laid and everything, and everything falling into place like it should be?
It is. I started refreshing the spots on the street so artists know where their booths are. Had to measure some new spots. We'll move into a new block that hadn't been measured yet. So things are falling into place.
I know you use your notes from year to year, but, you know, so some of it, but, you know, there's still a lot of things to do every year, isn't there?
There are so many things that you don't even realize from going way back in February when we do the jurying, and then the beginning of June, we did the artist assignment where we lay out all the maps and you have to find a spot on the street for all the artists. We have so many requests. Out of approximately 190 artists, only 43 of them did not have a specific booth request. I want to be in the shade. I want to be in the sun. I don't want to be in the wind. I don't want to be by a food booth. I want to be on a corner. And so there's so many things that go into that. And you can't have a jeweler next to a jeweler. And so we spent an evening, you know, getting everybody a spot on the street, and then we have to have the spots on the street. Now next week we'll put the stickers down with the booth numbers, and takes a lot.
Yeah, you really try to accommodate people, don't you?
We do the best we can. We only have so many corners. We don't know if it's going to be sunny or windy. I mean, some of the requests, you do the best you can.
Well, tell me about it. You normally have about, what, 200 vendors or so? How's it looking?
Yeah, we have about the same number again this year, plus or minus a few. We've had some cancellations. We try to fill those as best we can from other artists who were juried and still stay. If a potter cancels, we try to fill it with another potter, things like that. So I would say about 190-ish, give or take a few.
Wow, that is amazing. What about food vendors?
A lot of the food vendors are the same. We have a few less this year. A couple of food groups are not going to be joining us this year. They just can't get the volunteers to work for the weekend. So we have the River Valley Music Boosters will be providing their cream puffs, iced coffee, water, and bubbler. They're at the north side of Jefferson Street at the Jefferson and Washington Street intersection. The River Valley Area Community Gardens will provide a variety of ice cream flavors for cones and dishes. They're across from the Lions Food Stand on the north side of the street at Jefferson and Lexington. The Spring Green Lions Club, they'll have brats, burgers, hot dogs, chips, Pepsi products, and water. They're on the south side of Jefferson Street at Lexington, between the bookstore and the hardware store. The River Valley High School girls swim team will provide their walking tacos, loaded baked potatoes, soda, Gatorade, and water. They're on the north side of Jefferson at Worcester Street, near the fair headquarters area across from the bank. And Spring Green Pack 38 Scouts will serve lemonade, strawberry lemonade, iced coffee, Arnold Palmer, unsweetened iced tea, and water. And they're at the south side of Jefferson and Albany next to Panacea. So those are our food groups for this year. We're missing a couple that have been involved for many, many years, and just searched out every organization in the community and couldn't get any takers to kind of add to what we have. But we have lots of local restaurants that will also be serving food during the fair. So if you don't support the local groups on the street, you can support one of our local restaurants.
You probably don't have specific numbers, but what a huge impact that event is for Spring Green.
Yeah, we don't, as far as attendance, we kind of over the years have estimated like 10,000. It's a total guess. Nobody really knows. Someone years ago took a photo when the Dutch Kitchen was still around, which is now the Post House Garden. They had a big balcony and they went up and took a photo and then tried to count, you know, like in one block, but it's just a total guesstimate, but we do bring in thousands of people that weekend.
How far away do some of the artists come from, Diane?
Oh, wow. We have artists that come from Colorado, from Florida. Most of them are from the Midwest area, but we do have artists that come. Oh, I think there's someone from Arizona. They do come from throughout the United States.
And how do they hear about you?
Through other artists, through social media, through different art publications that art fairs are, you know, promoted in. I think a lot through word of mouth. You get calls and it'll be like, oh, I was talking to so-and-so and they told me about your fair and can I be in? It's like, well, try next year. You know, we've kind of had our deadline, but we're on social media, and also I think word of mouth is probably the biggest.
Everybody has their likes, you know, and when they walk around and, you know, but I'm guessing once in a while, even you have something that just kind of wows you, don't you? When you see
it? I have lots of things that I like. My walls are full at home, so really, you know, it's hard to add new art at my house. But there are many, there's a lot of things that wow me. And it's not even always stuff that it would be like, oh, well, that's something that I like. I love, you know, seeing new things, and it's always exciting. We do have a number of new artists this year, and so it's fun to see what the new artists bring. And I have my old favorites that I like to go back and visit, and there's something for everyone.
We appreciate your yearly visit.
Thank you for having us and helping us promote the fair.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bowen.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. This morning, Pentagon experts continue assessing how much damage the U.S. air attacks did to Iran's nuke program. Iran's foreign ministers in Moscow to meet with Russian President Putin. Homeland Security warning state and local officials of a heightened threat environment. ABC's Rachel Scott at the White House.
This move by the president is dividing the Republican Party. He campaigned on keeping America out of foreign conflict. So on one end, Republican leadership standing by the president, supporting this move. But a handful of Republicans are speaking out, including Congressman Thomas Massie, calling the president's moves here unconstitutional.
More air attacks between Iran and Israel today. Crude oil prices jumped, fell, then regained about half the losses today. Nearly 50 heat records for this day could be equaled or broken, forecasters say. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts from Texas to Maine. In the seventh game, the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and